All right, let's go to the Lord and ask God to bless the message here today and bless in all that we say and do. And we'll just ask him to pour out his spirit and be a twofold anointing. Anointing the word as it goes out and anointing the ears and hearts that receive it. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for victory today. We thank you for your presence here today. We thank you, Lord, that we've come in your name and we're two or three gathered together in your name. You are in the midst. And God, I thank you that you're omnipresent. You're present here and you're present in every place that this message will go today. God, let the anointing break the yoke and set the captives free. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I've got a thought that I've been working on this morning. I come out here sometime after 6 this morning and started the day. And we've already had church about 4 or 5 times already. And I produce a lot of programs on Sunday morning. They're gospel programs. And we just have a good time in the Lord. And every message comes from a thought. In other words, I get a thought in my spirit. I get a quickening in my spirit. And I don't try to go back. I've got sermon books that I have made thousands of sermons, and I go back and index them and say, that'd be a good one for today, that'd be a good one for today, but I don't do that. I build every message that I get ready to preach anew and afresh. Every one of them. For 42 through almost 43 years, I build them afresh. Now, you're using the same scriptures, and you're going to have some of the same scriptures in them. But I just can't preach them off of an outline. I can't do that. Never been able to do that. And then the ones that I don't build, like last Sunday, I went back through the building and I explained that to the listeners and those who was here. All of a sudden, the Lord quickened me, and I preached a message on the will of God. And that message will touch literally millions of people. I knew when, you know why? Because that message didn't belong to R.L. Goad Evangelist. It didn't belong to me. That wasn't my message. I got that from a feed, amen, from the glory world, and landed in my spirit. And I ministered on that thought. Well, I've got a thought this morning that sometime after 6 on in the morning a little bit there, that me and the good Lord and doing the Floyd Church of God program and edit it, and the pastor had been busy. He'd had some deaths, and we lost a good friend this week, and he apologized that he didn't get the message to me, but he had to go to Georgia and do the funeral, and he didn't call me until he got back, and he said, I'm sorry, and I know these people loved you and you loved them. But Sue Gibson and her husband, James died this past week and was buried. And he's just a close friend. He said, Brother Bishop said he didn't hardly ever see James, that he didn't bring us up or say something about us. He just loved us so much. And we loved those folks too. And they was part of what we do. And but anyway, he had cirrhosis of the liver. And it finally, got the best of him. And he went on to be with the Lord. He loved the Lord with all of his heart. But sometime in the course of doing that and doing the first live broadcast from here, this thought come to me, ransom. And you think the word ransom, you think, well, you think of a kidnapper, you know, and you see all these different programs you've seen, and somebody will say to you, they'll say, the person, well, this person's been kidnapped. I wonder if it's going to be a ransom involved. Before long, you get a ransom note, and if you've ever seen one of those they use on television, they cut them out of different, they cut words out of different magazines and newspaper and glue them on a piece of paper and then send them that way. And there's a price that they're asking for the ransom that person can be set free. I want to preach this morning on the thought, the ransom. And we find in the Word of God, we find in Job's writing in chapter 33, we find this phrase introduced to us. And this phrase says in chapter 33 and in verse 24. Then he is gracious unto him and said, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Now, Job was a man that had some insight. First of all, as I said, this scripture, and anytime I get a thought, I'll scotch it with the scripture. And I scotched this with 7 other scriptures. The problem I have here with this message today, that every one of those 7 scotches is a message in itself. So I could simply start here today and preach this message and follow it up with 7 other messages that would be just as powerful. But I scotched this with these scriptures today, and I want to deliver them to you as God would be my witness and God would be my helper. But Job was a man that knowed something about God. He was a man, the Bible said that he was a perfect man. He was upright before the Lord. And the Bible said he eschewed evil. He stayed away from it. He left it alone. He got away from it. This man eschewed evil, left it completely alone. Anything looked like it, smelt like it, tasted like it, he left alone. And here old Satan come along. And the whole story of mankind is told in the book of Job. And here old Satan come along, and the Lord seen him looking at Job. And he said to him, hast thou considered my servant Job? And the old devil, boy, he just, you talk about having a pity party. No, he broke bad. He said, I sure have. I've watched him. I've considered him. I've looked at him. But he said, I've got a problem. I broke my best pitchfork. I broke every pair of horns I've got. Every time I mess with him, I got my eyes blacked. I got my shins kicked in. I just got the worst end of the deal every time I mess with Job. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but you know what I mean. It should be that way any time that the devil comes along and messes with a Christian. Folks get up and scoot over on the side of beds. Oh my, another day I got to fight the devil and go to work. And I go, oh mercy. It shouldn't be that way at all. It should be about the time we open our eyelids, the devil goes scaping off the front porch, leaps into the shrubbery or somewhere, and said, I got to get out of here. That saint is awake, and they're up. I'm going to get beat again today. Amen. And according to the word of God, it can be that way. Draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee from you. But here, Satan simply said, as a hedge built around him. If you let that hedge down, I'll show you what I'll do. I'll make him curse your name. We could preach right there for a week on that thought alone. Satan is accused of the brethren both day and night. Literally, he is out to kick you in the teeth, to do whatever he can do or whatever he can come against you with or whatever he can throw in your way, whatever he can discourage you with, whatever. He's the accuser of brethren both day and night. He's trying to wear out the saints of the Most High God. But I'm glad I got the quickening power of God. I'm glad I got the renewing process of the Holy Ghost in me that renews me in mind, that I get a new halt on this thing. And when I get to the end of the rope, I'm glad there's a knot in it. It won't slip out of my hand. I'm glad I can keep on keeping on. I'm glad I can keep on running the race. But you can know by the book of Job that this man was tried and persecuted. The story of the battle of life, the battle that you and I go through, is depicted in this book of Job. Job was a man said that if you would delight yourself in the Lord, you could decree a thing and see it established unto you. Job was the man said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job was the one said, even though the skin worms will devour this flesh, in this same flesh, I'm going to see my Redeemer. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and on the last days is going to stand upon the face of this earth. Job had some insight. Job had something to hold on to. He simply believed in God. He simply believed. Simply accepted that he was going to serve God, though he slay him. He was going to trust him. He had a made up mind. He'd sold out to the cause. He was like Joshua. Me and my house going to serve the Lord. That was a man who was sold out to the cause. Job had a bunch of comforters, and don't we all? Even Satan got a hold of his wife, and she went to laying it to him. Oh, Job, you done lost your integrity. Why don't you curse God and die? I mean, she'd hit him with a low blow. She got him between the eyes and with a roundhouse uppercut, poked him somewhere else. She'd really laid it on him. But Job, in all this sin not, neither falsely accuse God. He said, I found a ransom. It sounds to me like that as we walk through this life, as we walk through the battles of life, it sounds to me like we need to find out something about this ransom that Job knowed about and spoke about. We need to have some understanding on it. Because this old boy, Satan come back with his best shot. Time and time and time and time again, he come at Job with the best shot. He come at him from every direction, even the point of using his wife, his friends. He did not slack in any point of trying to literally, you know, in sackcloth and ashes with balls from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. I mean, he was in misery. He was mucked, and you know, everything could be said to him was said to him by his friends. But he said, I know there's a ransom. He said, I found a ransom. Now, as we go to the Word of God, we hear the Word of God start all the way back in Genesis, the 22nd chapter. We hear God's Word begin to talk about this ransom. Now, he don't use the word ransom in the King James Version in chapter 22 of Genesis. But here's what he does say. After Abraham had said to the folks that in verse 5, he said, and Abraham said to him, the young man, abide here with the animals, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, as he begins to go to do what God has told him to do, and Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Now Isaac here done got a little suspicious, something wasn't right here today, you know. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he answered, here am I, my son. And he went and he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offerings. So they went both of them together. Here it's introduced the plan of God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. That rightly divided mean it was in the plan of God. It was in the foreknowledge of God that this man Jesus would be the ransom. He would be the price that would be paid so you and I can go free. Glory to God. Thank God I found the ransom. Thank God I know the ransom today. Amen. And it presses on. Over in Isaiah. Touch a little bit on the Christmas message. In Isaiah the 9th chapter and verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Here is the prophecy prophesying that this man Jesus will be born. In the first chapter, in verse 20, the story is told of what shall take place. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And listen to verse 20. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There again, it makes mention of the ransom, not in using the word ransom, but using the fact that this man Jesus will be the one that will save his people from their sins. Thank God that I know him. Thank God the power of his word is exposed before us. Then the word of God tells us in 1 Peter in the first chapter, people will use the word and they'll say tradition has it. That's dangerous. When somebody tells you tradition has it, you better watch out. Because they're going to unload something on you that you just be best not to hear. But they'll say tradition has it. Well, your granny and grandpa was good folks. So your mom and dad was good folks, so, well, you're going to turn out to be good folks. Not so. You're not going to turn out anything and be rotten, no good, and a scandal if you don't do something about it. Because that same man messed with Job has been messing with you. And he's been messing with everybody's mind. He's been messing and telling them they're no good. They messed up too many times. You might as well quit. You might as well throw in the pie towel. You might as well give it up because you just a mess. So if you listen to tradition, you got troubles. But here the word of God says for in 1 Peter 1 and 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as of silver and gold for your vain conversation received by the traditions of your father. You're not saved because your father, your mother, your grandparents, or anybody else in your family was saved or served God. You're going to have to go before God for yourself, and there's going to have to be a ransom paid and a price paid. Verse 19 said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The ransom was to be paid by that which that Abraham said to Isaac, God will provide for himself a lamb. That lamb was to become and be born according to Isaiah, according to Matthew. It came to pass on this wise. Found no room in the inn, but in a manger. This one that would save his people from their sins, not by the tradition of their fathers, but by the precious blood of that lamb that was to be slain. You can't earn it. You can't trade for it. You can't beg, borrow, steal. There is a ransom today. Then I find in the New Testament, I find a word called propitiation. Kind of fits right along with ransom. Propitiation means a price paid. Only Jesus Christ has the power to forgive sin, for he paid the price. The Bible says in Romans, the 3rd chapter, and in verse 24, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood. There had to be a price paid. And that price that was paid, that was that lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, in the great foreknowledge of God, he was born of a virgin birth. He lived 33 and some part years. And his blood was spilt on the ground. And that blood became the propitiation. It became the price. Secondly, that word was mentioned one more time in the New Testament. In 1 John, the 2nd chapter, he said, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Here again, a price paid, a ransom. And he is the propitiation of our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Do you know the ransom? Job said there is a ransom. The word of God, if we follow it from Genesis all the way through the New Testament, substantiates what Job said. There was a Savior coming. And that Savior, not by the traditions of the fathers, but by the fact he climbed up Golgotha's hill. He come under the Oklahoma, the way of the, and walked up the Via Della Rosa, which is the way of cross. And there, between two thieves, they crucified him. And he spilled the blood that God said would be the propitiation, the price paid for my sins and your sins and all of mankind. That's the message of the cross. That's the message of ransom. God, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for that ransom. That price was paid, that propitiation. God, we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, let men and women take a hold of this message. Let them realize they can't save themselves. They can't be saved by tradition. They can't be saved by their mothers, their parents, their grandparents. But they got to be saved by the blood of that shed lamb and that blood that was shed by that lamb. God, I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let men and women, as they hear this message, God, let them be as Job, come to the knowledge to know that there is a ransom. In Jesus' name we pray. Saved to the uttermost, set free, heal, deliver is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.